Welcome to Pumpkin Spice Podcast. It's a monthly treat where comedy and horror meet. I'm Rob Schulte.
I'm Brittany. Hi.
Brittany, yeah. We are here with another tremendous episode, I would say. Quite possibly, though, the spookiest episode of this season.
I saw that it was PG-13. I thought it was going to be tame, but I jumped many times.
Yeah.
Me and my dog were startled many times.
I feel like, and we'll get into it, but Michelle Pfeiffer was gaslit in this movie, and so was I.
Oh, yes.
By director Bob Zemeckis. I never knew what was around the corner.
I never knew.
So yeah, we watched What Lies Beneath from 2000, the year 2000. Everything changed.
Yes.
In the year 2000.
Y2K.
Surprising how many flying cars were in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was written by Clark Gregg, who's Agent Coulson in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And Sarah Kinochin, who's like a standard or was a standard cinema writer, but directed by Robert Zemeckis, who...
Bobby Z!
You know, Forrest Gump.
I haven't heard of it. Would you recommend?
Yeah, if you're a fan of Dr. Pepper, you're really going to like that movie.
I love ice cream, if that has anything to do with it.
If you look, if you're also a fan of looking back at the past with rose-colored glasses, you're going to love that movie. Now, I thought it was fun, and this comes up a little bit later, but this movie was made after Contact with Jodie Foster, but before Castaway with Tom Hanks.
Tom.
Nice little nuzzled nest here for Bob Zemeckis.
Well, and you have to mention Michelle Pfeiffer, Harrison Ford.
Have to.
Wow. Oh. All-star cast.
Yes. I mean, and I was just saying this before we recorded, like, these are superstars. These are like, I mean, of course, Robert Zemeckis is a you know, a high-profile director, but like a high-profile director and like amazing leads like Michelle Pfeiffer
and
Harrison Ford. You don't get that in spooky stuff.
This is a treat.
Britt, I'm going to go ahead and read the user-generated IMDb storyline.
Please do. You don't need my permission, but I will give you my blessing.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it because we're going to need to give this writer our blessing because they went on for about five sentences too long. So strap in. Norman Spencer, a university research scientist, is growing more and more concerned about his wife, Claire, a retired concert cellist, who a year ago, just 1 year ago from today, was involved in a serious auto accident, and who has just sent off her daughter, Caitlin, Norman's stepdaughter, to college. Now, Claire reports hearing voices and witnessing eerie occurrences in and around their Lakeside, Vermont home, including seeing the face of a young woman reflected in water. An increasingly frightened Claire thinks the phenomena have something to do with the couple living next door, especially since the wife has disappeared without apparent explanation, and her husband urging Claire to starts to see a therapist. Here, last sentence, she tells him she thinks the house is being haunted by a ghost and that he wants her to try and make contact. Wow, Eugene.
Could keep going.
You could just go on and on with that. He could have just told us the entire movie.
Well, and you know, what's weird is though they really just left off right at like three quarters of the way through. Like, didn't give away the ending. Well, that's polite.
Yeah, thank you, Eugene, for at least not telling us about the truck that goes in the lake.
Spoiler. So, Rob, had you seen this film before?
I had, but it had been quite some time. I have this very strong memory of watching this movie in the basement of the house I grew up in because I saw an HBO first look about what it took to make this movie and, like, you know, the little filler 10-minute spots they put between movies back in the day on cable.
I'm familiar.
I was really taken aback by it.
Were you?
How about you?
I had not seen it. I don't believe I had. I mean, you know, I don't know if I'm the target demo back in 1998 or, excuse me, back in the year 2000. In the movie, the gravestone says 1998. So this must be based on a true story and released like 2 years after. Anyway, can you imagine?
I'm currently imagining.
Yeah, think about it. Just close your eyes. Think about it. I'll give you a minute.
One, two.
Okay, time's up.
Okay. All right, Britney minutes. Everyone knows. You've heard of a New York minute. A Britney minute is even faster.
It's not even three full seconds. It's 2.5 seconds. And anyway, yes, I had not seen it, but I did watch it. Don't worry. I watched it.
Yep,
so
yep.
I watched it Saturday morning cartoon style as my per usual. I did jump many times, as I mentioned. Startled my dog. My dog was startled. Startled me back. It was a whole thing. How did you watch it? Did you curl up with your cozy blanket and make yourself a Peterita and just really dive in?
I made popcorn. I did curl up with a blanket. No alcohol necessary. But it did take me a couple of tries. Like, I didn't watch it all in one sitting this time. Two evening sittings for me.
Oh, really?
It's a little long. Not that it's too long, per se. We'll get to that later. But yeah, it was just one of those things. I think I just started it a little too late the first night, you know?
Oh, I can understand that.
I mean, I shouldn't have had my pajamas with, like, the nightcap that kept falling in front of my eyes as I was getting sleepy.
Now I'm imagining it. It's a painted a visual, and I'm enjoying it. And yes, to be clear, when I was watching the Saturday morning cartoon style at like 9 a.m., I was also not drinking. There was no alcohol involved.
Okay.
Needed to clarify.
But we all were in footy pajamas.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Michelle Pfeiffer, everyone's mom in this movie, very, very much...
Amazing. She's so good. I forgot it was Michelle Pfeiffer.
Performance off the charts.
Yes.
Yeah. She fell into the role. And I want to say this because I think just before we get into our patented segments, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer, best role since Catwoman, just going crazy. Harrison Ford, there was a point in time in his career where he decided, I'm only going to play good guys and the president.
Listen to me. You know who I am. I'm the president of the United States.
Right.
And then, boo-woo-bam, in this movie, we get him as like a surprise bad guy. And level of intensity I was not expecting and, quite frankly, kind of forgot until I watched it again.
And he mumbled a lot. So much of it was like, turning it all the way up. And I'm just like, come on, Harry. Yeah, I can't hear you, man. Speak up. Enunciate.
Especially against Michelle Pfeiffer's perfect enunciation.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Like, you're just looking like a fool. But we're all here to learn.
Yes.
And that's why we have our first segment, Cutting Class.
Attention, faculty and students.
You're suspended.
Not until your grades improve.
Cutting Class.
The school is closed.
Rob, will you all take the lead on this?
Robert Zemeckis made this movie, like I said earlier, after Contact, but before Castaway. But more specifically, this movie, What Lies Beneath, was made during the months while Tom Hanks was losing all of his weight for Castaway to be the skinny bearded man who's
obsessed with the volleyball. Yes.
Yep.
You say best friend, I call it obsessed.
But that's what friendship is, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Right? Right?
Obsessed. Yeah. Oh, Rob, my best friend, I'm obsessed.
Wait, you want to alternate some facts?
Yeah, oh, sure. So this is just kind of just a little fun fact.
Uh-huh.
They made a Bollywood movie based on this movie. I just think that's so cute.
I gotta see this. I have to see this.
I would love to see them breaking out into song. You know, after she steals a lock of hair. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Anyway, what was your fun fact?
I thought, since, you know, last season or a couple seasons ago, we watched Scream, and Michelle Pfeiffer has stated in an interview that she used Drew Barrymore's method of projecting fear to help get into her character for this movie of Claire. And I was like, wow.
What is Drew Barrymore's secret? What is her method?
I don't know. Probably screaming real loud. because that's what I remember.
Oh, I can do
Scream.
That. Hold on. Just kidding.
Hey, and the last fact I just wanted to pull from that HBO first look I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
Robert Zemeckis said he wanted to direct this movie as if Alfred Hitchcock had access to CGI, and I think that's pretty clear.
Yeah, beat me over the head with it. I get it. I see what you're doing.
Oh. It was crazy, but you know what else is crazy, Brittany? The Maniac moment.
Maniac. It will tear the life out of you.
Oh, yes, yes, that.
See, this is the thing that we think is the craziest, wildest, not the most sane decision in the movie. What did you think, Britt? What stood out to you?
Well, I did a little foreshadowing in the last segment. When she shows up at the missing girl's mom's house and then proceeds to steal a lock of her hair she found lying around in the girl's bedroom, that's loco.
That was...
But you're not... Even if you feel like you're haunted, and maybe you think that you're haunted by her, you can't be stealing locks of hair from the missing girl's bedroom when her mom probably wants that for a keepsake.
It's also not going to go unnoticed. The first thing that mom is going to do is walk into that room after you leave. It's not like she's got multiple locks of hair.
Right.
Sitting around there.
That was the one lock of hair. Very thick.
She's already like going to therapy and people are like, oh my gosh, she got in a car wreck. And now this woman's going to have to be like, Andrew stole my daughter's hair.
Please call the police. Yeah. Rob, what was the thing that you thought was crazy?
So we start to get on Claire's side when things are like falling into place with the ghost story. And I think this is post hair scene. Claire walks to the dock in the middle of the night. She looks down into the water, and then we cut back to the house, and Claire is all wet and has a jewelry box. Did Claire dive to the bottom of the lake in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
Oh, that's just terrifying even without ghosts.
Yeah, I'm like, how did she see in the dark?
I know.
In the water.
Like...
I know.
I'm okay with the mystery. You know, I think it adds a little bit. You know, we didn't see her do it, but here is what is there. And I get that sort of like filmmaking aspect to it. But in a, you know, Brittany, you and I, we have to look at these things as if we are living in this world, because that's what movies are made for. And if we are living in this world, it's like, Claire, why are you diving into that lake in the middle of the night? You know, it's...
Wait till sunup.
Do it in the middle of the day, at least.
Yeah, wait till your husband goes off to work. But, you know, when you have that burning feeling that your partner had not only cheated on you, but now the girl's missing, and he did say that he had something to do with her. And then you find the necklace, and the key pops up out of nowhere, and then you see the jewelry shop, and the
door keeps opening.
The door. You might be like in the middle of the night, just being like, "Well, let's just you know what? I'm gonna go do it."
I'm either gonna get this at 7 a.m. or I'm gonna do it now. So I'm just gonna go get it. Yeah.
Like,
at least
so
if I do
logical.
It now, the neighbor kids won't yell at me when I come out of the water.
Sure.
Practicing basketball or something.
Well, whatever those kids are up to these days. Or I guess back in 1998.
Yeah. Pokemon video game. Anyway.
Gotta catch them all.
Yes.
Yes. Did anything make you go,
Yes, I was about to stumble across myself making myself go in this podcast, Brittany. But to answer the question you asked of me, yeah, I think that we touched on it earlier. Bob Zemeckis, you can use some computer graphics for 1998, and some might say unnecessarily so. And I think the thing that made me go, the most was there was one scene. There were some good CGI scenes in this movie.
Absolutely.
But there was one scene where they're both, Harrison Ford and Michelle Pfeiffer, are driving in a car going to like a banquet for DuPont or some shit. And like, we get their conversation in the rear view mirrors, but it just looks like a video game screen inside of a truck.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me go, how about you?
The daughter from the beginning.
Mm.
The plot is that Michelle Pfeiffer takes her daughter to college in like the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Her daughter never called her back. Not a single phone call.
Wow.
She knows her mom's going through something.
Wow.
Her mom's acting crazy. Her mom was in a car accident a year ago. She knows it's going to affect her.
Hasn't been able to play cello.
One time. No. Oh my. No. Oh. Don't even.
You know, like,
fine. You already got me started. She gave up playing cello, just like, period, because she got married. Like, I understand why she left the. What is symphony? What was she, anyway? What was she on tour
the
with?
Quartet,
like,
that she was with. I don't know.
Yes, but like, but why did she stop playing cello completely?
I gave up everything.
Please don't.
My life, my music.
I never asked you to quit.
No, oh, there was never any other choice.
I want to think that, like, she's too strong of a person to just give it up for Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones. I don't know. Maybe he opened that arc and some ghosts ran out.
I mean, but it was Indiana Jones. I mean,
maybe it was the car wreck, too. I don't know. Who knows?
Hey, if you're in college, your mom's going through something, give her a call. Give her a ring.
If there's going to be rules, like, to live by that are created by Brittany and Rob, I think at least in the top 10 is like,
right,
you know, go off to college, call your mom.
Guardian, yes.
Or guardian.
Gotta do it.
Well, Brittany.
Yes.
I always like where your head is at when it's time to rate these movies.
I never like where my head's at. I'm like, put me out of this misery.
I'm so sorry. But did anything jump out to you in this particular movie?
Remarkable.
We found something.
Is this dork made of orange rock like the rest of his body? The thing.
I'm adjusting my glasses, my blue light blockers. Yeah, my big takeaway was the visual of a very fit in tan Harrison Ford shirtless laying on the bed, like working on his laptop. I was like, okay, sure, making work from home like look good. You know?
Oh, man.
I will never forget. That is burned into my memory. How about you?
My big takeaway, the thing, this is the thing that I didn't state earlier, but careful listeners will know that I stated it now. It is that Robert Zemeckis, we know you want to do something in the style of Hitchcock. It doesn't work. We already got one of those guys. But Michelle Pfeiffer and Harrison Ford, they work 24/7. So I'm in it for this film.
We'll be quick and quiet.
I don't want to be either.
Now!
Is there something that jumped out to you that you would like to rate this film by?
This is pretty silly.
On this podcast?
Most of my ideas and commentary is usually very serious. You know, I'm very like cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
But Michelle Pfeiffer playing solitaire in the dark on her giant desktop computer. That actually made me laugh because like you didn't see what she was doing. I thought she was doing research or something.
Yeah.
And then they just showed her playing solitaire. And I'm like, turn on a light. What's happening? Are you okay?
Go get a PlayStation. Come on.
But like, How does that fit into a rating system? Like, now you have to help me make sense.
Oh, I would say, I guess if you were to play solitaire while we're rating this film, what card would you flip over? You know, what would be your card that you flip over and why?
Please, go after you, sir.
Okay, I think if I were to flip over a card, it would be the jack, because you're like, oh, this is good. I know that it's good, but it's not the best. It's made like it's part of a family of good things, but it has a strong potential to not be the card I need right now. And so that's what I would rate What Lies Beneath. How about you?
I would do queen for sure.
Ooh.
It's almost there. Like, no, I mean, I just enjoyed it start to finish. And Queen, like, yes, Queen.
Yes.
Michelle Pfeiffer really, 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 like, blew my mind. She was amazing. Her eyes and it was just a lot. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, especially when they go green. Ooh, yeah.
Shivers up my spine. Shiver me timbers.
Still to this day, I love that part, though.
I think she's starting to suspect something.
Ooh.
Your wife.
Your wife. You know, that still, that, oh, God.
I got scared for real. I was like, was she possessed?
Yeah, oh, well, you got that hair.
Yikes.
We are not the only people that have reviewed this movie, though, Brittany. It's true.
Oh, yeah. I was like so curious. I'm like, what, Rob? Did you have a Letterboxd review to share?
I found two this week.
What?
One I found was someone else who watched this movie the same time we did, and that's Dan McCoy, one of the hosts of the Flophouse podcast. And he had to say, this is a 4-star film, and ahead of the curve in the thriller that's really about the specific ways men can be shitty genre. Also, Dan loves when Zemeckis shifts into full Tales from the Crypt mode, which I can agree with. The other review I got is only 3.5 stars by Adrian. And Adrian says, I would do anything for Michelle Pfeiffer. Anything! Happy belated birthday to one of my all-time faves, Bob Zemeckis. And this was written on Robert Zemeckis' birthday. Two incredible Letterboxd reviews.
I'm touched, for one.
Another great episode of Pumpkin Spice Podcast, Brittany. I think we've opened the ghost door, so who knows what could come next. I mean, ghost ship?
Who knows?
You never know. But until then, people should know that if they'd like to find out more about the podcast you and I make, they can go to pinkjeansproductions.com, which also has links to our Patreon, where you can support our show. And if you'd like, you can also go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating and review. We truly, truly love it.
And other things we love. Social media.
Oh, yeah.
You can find us on Instagram, Facebook. We have a Facebook group. You can find us on Twitter. You can hashtag Pink Jeans. All of those things at Pink Jeans Productions. You find us and we'll kick it. We'll have a good time. Social media.
Hell yeah.
And thank you, Marie, for editing this episode. You're doing such a great job. I really appreciate you. And I couldn't say enough good stuff. Right, Rob?
Yeah. Thank you, Marie. And thank you, Jonathan, for the awesome graphics that we've been, or images that we've been sharing on the social media. That's been a blast as well.
Jeremy, for this theme music. That's
yes.
Bumping.
God.
Okay.
So many thank yous. I love it. It feels so good.
Yes.
Well, Brittany, I'm scared to death and need to figure out what else we're going to get scared by next month. So until then, thanks for hanging out.
Okay. See you later.
Bye.